We had promised that we would always be willing to experiment a little bit at this service and try to figure out what works best. And at a gathering Monday, it was suggested to try me taking a blog post from the past, maybe reworking it a little bit, and then bringing it here, and hopefully it might spark more discussion. And so I've done that. I actually had Kate pick the blog post just so that she, I said, what do you think would work? She picked three, and I picked the one out of the three that I wanted to do first. So we're going to see how this goes. Hopefully it'll go really well. It really comes down to how much discussion we have afterwards as to whether or not we think going forward we might do this. If we do this, there's lots of opportunities for series of talks and different things, including intentional blog posts to share with the point of saying, and if you come this Sunday, you can have more discussion. So the first one that I want to share with you is a blog post I wrote just last year, actually. It's, if you aren't a little bit agnostic, you might not be progressive. I prefer to actually use the word agnostic as an adjective rather than a noun. And the origin of the preference starts with a video of one of my living heroes, Dr. Neil deGrasse Tyson, in which he addresses the question of whether or not he is an atheist. Now, in talking about his beliefs about a deity, Dr. Tyson says this, I would say if I find a word that comes closest, it would be agnostic, to refer to someone who doesn't know, but hasn't yet really seen evidence for God, but is prepared to embrace the evidence if it is there. But if it's not, won't be forced to have to think something that is not otherwise supported. Now, not surprisingly, conservative Christians were very disappointed in Dr. Tyson about this, as were actually many atheists who wanted desperately for him to say that he was atheist. Now, for me personally, the most helpful thing that I've seen come out of these discussions resulting from the video was the idea of using agnostic as an adjective rather than a noun. Now, admittedly, Dr. Tyson uses adjective as a noun. I do still do that at times. But because of that video, I have actually heard him frequently described as an agnostic atheist. Dr. Tyson actually prefers no labels at all other than scientist. But there's lots of other labels that could be used to describe his perspective, maybe something like weak atheist. But I find agnostic atheist to be much more helpful for describing how Dr. Tyson thinks about any possible deity. Tyson defines agnostic as someone who doesn't know, but hasn't yet really seen evidence for God, but is prepared to embrace the evidence. As a modifier to a noun, that can be very helpful. Whether it is modifying atheist or it's modifying Christian or possibly other faith traditions, it's a nice augmentation that helps put aside some of the assumptions that tend to be associated with certain labels. Labels, the very thing that Dr. Tyson prefers to avoid. Now, following that train of thought, I actually call myself an agnostic Christian. I mean, I believe, mostly, I believe that there is probably a God, something bigger than us. I have a very hard time believing that there's not something larger than humanity. I mean, seriously? We are the best thing the universe has to offer? At least as far as we know, that just seems a bit egotistical to me, not to mention a bit unfortunate for the universe. Ultimately, I just don't buy it. I also believe that there might not be a God. Or at the very least, I frequently feel the absence of God. Even King David felt the absence of God. It's all over the Psalms. I really don't feel bad about doubting. I actually feel like it's quite normal. And that's why I think of myself as an agnostic Christian. I believe that there is a God, I also accept that there might not be a God. When I worship that God who is all at once bigger than me and possibly might not be at all. I believe there is most probably a God. But faith itself insists that God's existence is not provable. After all, that's why it's called faith. The linchpin of progressive thought is open-mindedness based on rational thought. If the set of beliefs you're following have something like faith, has something within their practices which presumes the inability to prove the existence of God, and you are approaching the beliefs with open-mindedness based on rational thought, as progressives do, then like Dr. Tyson, you must be prepared to embrace the evidence if it's there or if it is not. That means admitting that while you believe, you do not know. Not to go overboard quoting the Bible or anything like that, but it does make me think of this one quote. I believe, help me in my disbelief. It means, if you are a progressive Christian, it's time to admit that you are most likely an agnostic Christian. We now want to give you the chance to respond with your thoughts on the talk and the topic. I do ask, as always, if you would, just keep your responses sort of focused. You can see there's a lot of folks, and we want to give everybody an opportunity to respond if possible.
Good morning, I'm David. And my question for Dr. Tyson would then be, what evidence does he need to prove?
Good question. He doesn't.
No. I'm Sue, and I have a question I'd like to hear response from you, Mark. Do you have similar questions about the Christian part of the script? I mean, if you're an agnostic Christian, do you hold that part of the descriptor to the same
as standard? I do the question of divinity?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I do, definitely. I mean, I don't question, personally, like through the work of people like Bart Ehrman, I don't question the existence of a man named Jesus
and his
teachings. Yeah. But beyond that, yes.
The Christian part, the chosen by God.
As a matter of fact, there's
a
part of this was an excerpt from a series that I wrote called This Collar is Too Tight, Heresies from the Southern Minister. And it's one of the ones that we will probably do, if this goes well, where I take each one of the kind of standard Christian beliefs that I consider dogma, not biblically based, and break down why I don't believe in them. I definitely put them to the question. We may even start going further into it if we end up feeling like this worked.
My name is Joyce David. I heard regarding Dr. Tyson that as an astrophysicist, he and others like him were so impressed with the complexity of the universe that they could not, even as scientists, not believe in something greater than human beings.
Dr. Tyson doesn't actually fall into that group. Einstein did, but Tyson says very clearly that he doesn't understand the complexity, but he's seen no proof that there's something bigger than us that did it. So he stands in that little weird space. Yeah. But Einstein says there has to be something else.
Mark, I would be very interested in going further in this type of discussion that you just alluded to. We call ourselves a thinking church, and it's nice to come here and think and have something to think about. I would have probably said I was a Christian agnostic. But I think the way you said it is far more fitting.
Thank you for sharing that. Appreciate it. Also, he's the one to either thank or blame for this idea. Just so you'll know afterwards. Don't come after me if you thought it was a bad idea. It's right there.
Hi, I'm Anthony. This conversation reminds me of part of my experience growing up in the 80s when that heavy metal music was playing over the airwaves and many parents were concerned about children listening to that loud stuff and the messaging in the music. And you could have seen occasional episodes of the Geraldo Rivera show where the concern would be that some teenager has become a Satanist. Right up there with that concern, I remember, and maybe this is just in my part of Washington State, there's a lot of talk of secular humanists and how they would destroy the fabric of America. And this discussion today about that is skirting the line between belief based on blind faith and belief based on reason, you know, kind of trying to occupy the space between, is just edging closer and closer to my understanding of what secular humanism is. And I'm pleased that there's less stigma now around that. Yeah. It's okay to be thinking that way, and that there's churches that are comfortable with that.
I actually do a series of talks called Common Ground Conversations with a gentleman who was an evangelical minister, and his last year became an atheist, but he still preached. And when he stepped out of the pulpit, he wrote a whole book on, I think it's called Faith Without God or something like that. Jerry DeWitt's his name. And Jerry and I would get together, and we've traveled a couple places. We did one here in Greensboro, where we talk about that exact thing, that if we take away the question of deity, that where we end up in our belief systems are almost exactly the same. I actually say in that series that I think Jesus was a really good secular humanist.
I would add to that, not only is there a tension between, say, traditional religion and secular humanism, but also between those two and deep ecology, which expands the circle of identity past humanity to encompass the whole earth.
There's some more over here.
Very interesting, Mark. Keep it up. Two thoughts. One, I was listening to a program on the radio last week with Neil deGrasse Tyson, and he was talking about our increasing understanding of humanity's place in the universe, moving from where we thought the Earth was the center of the universe to where we thought the solar system was, et cetera, et cetera. And then on until, you know, we now understand that there are many, many, many other galaxies in addition to ours. And then he went on to say that, and the most interesting thing recently in his mind is the discovery of what's called dark matter, which doesn't exert any gravitational influence, can't be seen, but comprises 96% of the universe. Everything we can see is 4%. That's not very much.
No.
I'm going to be really torn after the service between going to your discussion group, because I'd love to follow up on this discussion that you've started, and going to Danielle's conversation about transgender issues. But one thing I'd like to find out and discuss more with you and others is, how can you be an agnostic Christian if Christianity is based upon someone who claimed to be the Son of God and you're not sure that there is a God? So I'd like to talk more about that.
We could talk more about that. He didn't. No.
Hi, I'm Barbara. Over 40 years ago, I think almost over 40 years ago, I read a book that had a most profound influence on my religious life. And it was called The Christian Agnostic.
Really?
By Leslie Weatherhead.
Wow.
And I still remember that book today, and it gave me a tremendous freedom in my religious life.
That's awesome.
So I really appreciate you bringing up that topic again today.
That's great. I'll have to look that book up. Others.
Hello, I'm Susan. As you were talking, I was just thinking so many different things. I was raised in a Presbyterian church. Then I spent a number of years in a meditation community. And when I hear people say there is a God, there isn't a God, you can't prove there's a God, none of it bothers me. If you try to define God, God is this, and God is that, and God is all powerful and all knowing and whatever else, I just think the words that we use are all inadequate. And if we try to describe God, we're making him or her much too small. And I went off to Galapagos one time, and my brother-in-law, who's a really strong Christian, was just horrified that I would go there, where, you know, they believe in evolution. I mean, how disruptive is that? So I gave up a long time ago trying to find a church that believed, the people in that church believed what I believed, because I didn't think anybody's definition would match mine. So none of it bothers me. I'm happy to be here, and thank you for your discussion.
Right. We're going to take one more and then leave some time for our guest musicians. And I'll invite you, if you want to continue the discussion, we'll continue it in the fellowship hall afterwards.
I vote for continuing more discussions. Thank you. I wanted to respond to what Vance said about Jesus claiming to be the Son of God, because I don't think that's correct. It comes from a literal reading of Scripture, and some of those statements I think have been put into his mouth, but he said, follow me.
Actually, if you just remove the book of John, you don't have Jesus really referring to himself as God, and John was written long after dogma had started forming, so something to think about.